If you open your Bibles to Psalm 47 today, we'll take a look at that. Psalm 47 is part of a triplet. There's Psalm 45, Psalm 46, and Psalm 47. Psalm 45, it speaks of the first and the second coming of Christ. Psalm 46 is the establishment of the millennial kingdom right at the beginning. It's the day of the Lord when he destroys the nations, takes down their armies and their governments, destroys their weapons of war. The God of Jacob. Now, in Psalm 47 is actually the millennial kingdom itself as it flows on. A striking point in the psalm is the fact that the Lord is seen as king over all the earth. That's the theme of the song. He's king over all the earth. Verse 7, for God is king over all the earth. So we get it twice, verse 2 and verse 7. Verse 2 says, for the Lord Most High. Remember, at the very beginning of our studying the Psalms, we had mentioned that Most High was the millennial name of God, El Elyon. We won't go into the details of that again. For the Lord Most High is terrible or awesome. He is the great king over all the earth. Then again, we've already read it, verse 7, for God, that is Elohim, is king of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. The other key point is the last verse, verse 9. And I'm going to read it in the Darby translation because it's a little more liberal, a little clearer. The willing-hearted of the peoples, plural, the peoples here are the Gentile peoples, and that's not clear in some of our other translations. The willing-hearted of the peoples, or the Gentile people, have gathered together with, or have joined together with, the people, singular, of the God of Abraham. That is, the Gentile nations have joined together with the Jewish restored remnant. For unto God belong the great men or the exalted of the earth. He is greatly exalted. So we see here both the Jews and the Gentiles will be gathered together at Jerusalem in the millennium. The Lord will be reigning over all of them as king over all the earth. And we get, of course, in verse 8, it says, God reigns over the nations. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The Lord will be king over all the earth. Now, if we were going back to the book of Joshua, we see when they crossed the Jordan River, the people of Israel, and the Ark of the Covenant went before them. And the Ark of the Covenant there is called the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. You see, he was going in to possess the promised land as the Lord of all the earth and establish his kingdom there. And his kingdom was there through the people of Israel. But because they followed the gods of the nations, you know, the gods of the Canaanites, the gods of the Philistines, and ultimately the gods of Babylon, and the gods of the Ammonites and so on, they were carried into captivity into Babylon for 70 years. And of course, many of the prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, warn about this. And then we see in the book of Daniel and so on, the people of the Jewish people there in captivity. The 10 tribes earlier, previous to that, have been carried into captivity by the Assyrians. So the throne of God actually was removed from the earth. We read that in Ezekiel chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11, where the Shekinah glory lifts off the earth. So God removed his throne from the earth and committed the government of the world to the Gentiles. And this begins the time period that we know as the times of the Gentiles. It starts with Nebuchadnezzar, with Babylon. And runs on down through. We have it was next given to the Persians, and then to the Greeks, and then finally to the Romans, the Roman Empire, under which, in various forms, it continues to this day. The power of the West, and we know that a final form will be the revived Roman Empire under the Beast, in connection with the false prophet in the land of Israel, and so on. And then the Lord Jesus will appear in great power and glory and put down the nations. And his government, the kingdom, will be restored to Israel. Remember, the disciples asked the Lord in Acts chapter 1, Lord, will you at this time now restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, but go into Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive power from on high. Now, the times and seasons will begin when the times of the Gentiles are coming to an end. God will take up the nations again and establish the kingdom under Israel. So if you were to read to the psalm, this is basically the sense of it. The song, the song, which the psalm is a song of praise to the Lord as the Most High, the God over the nations and the God over Israel, who will rule as king over the earth. And they will all come up and worship the Lord in Jerusalem. Now, we have these same prophecies, for example, in Zechariah, where it says in Zechariah chapter 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, and there shall be one Lord, and his name shall be one." And then we see that in verse 16 it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations which come against Jerusalem," that is during the Great Tribulation, "the ones that are spared after the Great Tribulation, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles," and so on. So we see that the Lord will be worshipped as King in that day by the nations. And you know, there is, and this is not commonly seen, a heavenly side to the millennial kingdom and an earthly side. Generally, it's the earthly side that is brought before us, but there is a heavenly side, and the heavenly side will be in connection with the church and with us. We'll reign and rule with Christ above in the heavens, and the Lord will rule as king over the earth through the people of Israel on the earth. Now, the key verse that helps us understand that is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, where it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the dispensation of the fullness of times is the millennial time, the kingdom, he, that is God, might gather together, or literally to head up together in one, all things in Christ. So everything will be headed up in Christ in the millennium. And then he goes on to say, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So there will be a heavenly aspect, a heavenly sphere of the millennial kingdom, and there will be an earthly sphere. And heaven and earth will be linked together by this connection, by the connection of Christ. The distance between heaven and earth, I would say, we're not talking physically here, but the link will be reestablished, that distance will be removed. That happens to be the case now, because Satan is still the god of this world. Satan will be cast out in the middle of the tribulation, and this will begin the process of the Lord establishing his kingdom. First in the heavens, the church will be taken up, raptured to be with him. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We will reign and rule with him. But our sphere is heavenly. Let's not lose sight of that. But there is an earthly side as well, and he'll be over the nations. But the Jewish nation, Israel, will be at the head, not at the tail, according to the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This promise has never been canceled, has never been put on the shelf, has never been made obsolete because of the fact that the Jews have crucified Christ. Some teach that because they crucified Christ, now those promises made to the fathers have been rendered null and void. That's not true. That's not true. It's all on the basis of grace, God's sovereign grace. He made a promise to the father Abraham about the land and about the people, and that promise will come to pass. And we've enjoyed now the promise of salvation, which is also included in that. Us Gentiles, all the nations will be blessed through Abraham, through his seed. And that seed, Christ, has come. But these future blessings still are yet to be fulfilled. Well, may the Lord encourage your heart today as we stand and upon the promises of God and continue on for him while we are yet here. Amen.